Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Coach Travis with another episode of the Rep by Rep Strength Podcast. Today, I wanted to talk for a moment about exercise selection and some things that you should consider when laying out your program. So, the first thing that I wanted to get into is training economy. So, first thing here is the decisions you make today about training are not just going to impact today, but it will impact the rest of the week, the rest of the month, and ultimately the yearly plan as well. So as an example, if I am going to deadlift today, that is going to be far more stressful globally than a bicep curl. So I need to take that into consideration when I'm trying to determine how much of something I'm going to do, when I'm going to place it within my training week, and so on. So, as an example, if I perform high rep squats on Monday, my legs are going to be extremely sore and I'm going to be fatigued throughout the week, as opposed to if I was to swap and do high rep squats on Friday, where I will typically do recovery, low intensity steady state exercise on a weekend, because then that will affect, you know, my ability to recover and ultimately prepare for the following week. So that's one thing to understand. Secondly, a tool, simple acronym you can use to determine exercise selection is frequency, intensity, time, and type. So again, going back to the previous example. So if I'm going to select squats for a relatively high volume, that's something I can probably perform one time per week and ultimately recover from and come back ready and prepared to train the next week with a slightly heavier load. Whereas if I'm doing dumbbell curls, since that is a lower global stressor, it's going to fatigue my biceps and forearms at a local level, but they will recover at a much faster rate than will squats. Okay, and a couple reasons for that is going to be the ultimate range of movement of the motion. So I'm traveling a greater distance. My lower body can ultimately handle a greater workload during a squat. And during that greater distance than, say, a seated dumbbell bicep curl in comparison. So the type of exercise, the intensity of the exercise, and how long does it take me to perform that are all other variables that I can look at and consider as well when I am outlining a program for someone. The next point to consider here is, what is the risk-reward ratio for each exercise? So a better question to ask here is there an exercise that I can do that nets me pretty close to or greater reward safer? So as an example, if I'm fatigued from the front side of my workout and I want to get some more quad work in, for me, it would be in my best interest to do a belt squat. So that's going to be a better, safer selection than trying to perform high rep squats under a high level of fatigue. Not that squats are bad, not that high rep squats are bad, but just in that specific scenario, those are things that we can look at. So one of the other ones that I'll run into a lot is I'll see guys in the gym trying to do muscle ups. So again, what's the purpose of performing the muscle up? What is your ultimate training outcome that you're trying to accomplish with performing it? Did you decide this based on what? Are you going to perform and be evaluated on muscle ups? Or is this just something that was born out of tradition that you've just kind of blindly followed someone else and thought, well, they're a smart person, they do muscle ups, I should do muscle ups as well. So something to consider here would be if you have athlete A who has short arms and athlete B who has long arms, and we're both trying to perform 50 muscle-ups, athlete B is technically doing more work because they're covering a much greater distance. So this is something that must be taken into account as well. So again, looking at muscle-ups as the example, is there a better, safer alternative if I don't have to perform that exercise? You know, if I'm training for CrossFit Games and muscle-ups are a regular part of CrossFit, yeah, I should probably be pretty damn good at muscle-ups. But if my goal is to be the best basketball player possible and I'm doing some training to support my basketball development, is there a safer, better alternative to a muscle-up than ultimately doing that or spending my energy trying to get better at that move? So, moving on. I believe I've touched on this, but understanding that not all exercises are created equal. So going back to our squat versus curl example, one of those is going to be much more globally fatiguing than the other. So that can play into my week. So if I'm placing high rep squats immediately before a game day or before a peak event of some kind, I can pretty much be assured that the next day I'm going to be fatigued, drained, not feeling 100%. So maybe I should structure that at a different spot within the week or within the month. Whereas if I'm trying to do the same volume, this is one thing that gets me when I see old programs from coaches who frankly don't know what the hell they're doing. They'll say, you know, all exercises, we're going to do 4 sets of 10 or whatever. All right, cool. So we've done 40 reps for a bicep curl, 40 reps for a squat, 40 reps for a deadlift, and so on. And you'll see some of these programs floating around. The issue with that is I would rather do 10 very good, very heavy squats than 40 squats that are going to frankly be, you know, moderately heavy, and I don't know how good the technique is going to be because I'm starting to fatigue. Those are things to consider. So maybe it would be my best interest to do 5 sets of 2 on a squat as opposed to 4 sets of 10. So it's all situational and requires a lot of context, but you can see what I'm getting at here. So the final note here is with regards to the minimum effective dose. So, especially if I'm an athlete, and I'll give an example in a moment. If I'm an athlete, what's the least amount I can do and still get a positive training adaptation? Or maybe if I'm in season, for example, what's the minimum amount I can do and still retain the qualities that I've developed in the off season? So, as an example, to really drive this point home, there was an athlete I was working with about 6 months ago, and he came to me and said, here's my program. I've plateaued. I haven't been making any progress or the progress that I've been wanting to make. Can you have a look at it? It's like, yeah, sure. So first thing I did was every day was just an absurd amount of volume. And frankly, the company that he got this from should be embarrassed, because if this is what it was, clearly a cookie cutter program, ridiculously high volume. And the issue with that is this guy was trying to peak for a very specific event, for a very specific time. And he frankly couldn't, he never had time within the program for recovery. Every day was just a kick in the dick, go hard. I don't care how fatigued, how tired you are, you're going to do 2-3 hour workouts. So for a host of reasons, this was garbage. So anyway, what I did with him was I cut the volume by 50% and then removed 2 of the training days. And I said, hey man, follow this, follow my recommendations for a month. Stick with this company, follow the recommendations I've given you for 1 month. If you don't see any progress, cool. You don't have to come back and talk with me again. But if you do see some progress, we'll talk further about how to continue your progress. And lo and behold, his back pain went away. His hip pain went away. His performance started skyrocketing. He started squatting more than he ever had, deadlifting more than he ever had, hitting new numbers, and not just from an anaerobic standpoint, but from an aerobic standpoint as well. His ski erg time to 1,000 meters had drastically gone down, so he's putting in a lot more power into each stroke. He's just becoming an overall better athlete, and the whole reason for that is because we removed and decreased his volume, allowed for some recovery, and what do you know it? Super compensation. He's now performing better than he ever has. And this is a guy who's a high-level athlete. He's played competitive sports at the high school level, and then he's played competitive sports at the collegiate level, and now he's now in the tactical world. So he is doing great. He's performing better than he ever has, and it's all because when he comes in the gym, we have a singular focus for the day, and we're doing the least amount of volume that he will still respond to and still get a positive adaptation, because this guy's got some mileage on him. He is not going to be able to tolerate and recover and be prepared for the next day compared to an 18-year-old or 19-year-old kid with no training age. He's got some miles on him. He's got some wear and tear and some injuries and things like that. But we're taking those into consideration. So anyway, those are just a few things that I hope will help you when you're trying to determine what's an appropriate amount of exercise to dose, what exercises should be my priority, what exercises will tolerate a higher frequency, things of that nature. So I hope this helps you. If you have any specific questions, please feel free to reach out to me. Send me an email, jtbarrettfitness@gmail.com, or you can join the Strength Circle community at travisbarrett.com/community. All right, have a good day.